All right, we made it. It is a wonderful Tuesday in Minnesota. The weather is fancy outside. I'm really liking it. It's not snowing here. And I'm joined today by a new guest, somebody I'm excited to learn more about, somebody that reached out and asked if they can be on the podcast. This is a China Hall podcast, and you'll find out why he had reached out. But let's go ahead and hear more about yourself and your company. Who do I got?
Hi, everyone. Igor from MSCARTS here. I'm the CEO and co-founder. And yeah, it's my pleasure, Richard. Obviously, we were the first. A pleasure to be on this podcast. First of all, thanks for having me, Bucky. We are here at MSCARTS. We are big fans of podcasts, and our marketing head, Sergey, he was actually looking for scanning the globe, trying to find some of the best, most interesting podcasts in the area of co-working. And we ended up finding China Hall.
That's great. And for those that have no idea what AndCards is, how would you summarize what AndCards actually does and what you're all about?
Okay, well, AndCards is a product designed for co-working spaces to organize all information at a co-working space. Members of co-working space can easily book facilities and use the co-working space with mobile apps, and managers can easily synchronize it with all the apps that they use, the customer data. AndCards is a co-working software, and recently it was included in the list of one of the best co-working software in the world, and we are proud of it.
That's great. And let's learn more a little, Igor, about your entrepreneurial journey. I believe what was shared is AndCards is not the first company you've been involved with. So what's brought you here? What's got you to where you're at today?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's not my first business. Actually, it's a second. I've started my journey I started my career in South Korea, where I worked in a big corporation for many years. I worked in the field of investment. We invested a lot of projects in other countries. And at some point, I just realized that working in a corporation is not for me. You're like a brick in the wall. You need to do this one small thing, and nothing really depends on you that much. So I wanted to do something of my own. Like, I wanted to start a business. And in South Korea, we noticed there's a huge culture around this, like exchanging business cards, like a paper business cards. So we thought, why not do something to simplify this process? Why not like get rid of this paper waste and simplify exchange of contacts? And so we made our first startup, a company that was basically exchanging virtual business cards with a smartphone. And you know, when we started this business, we did every possible mistake that people normally do that you could imagine when you started your own business. We didn't check the demand. We didn't confirm, like, think of the marketing, how we go to the market. We just made the product right away, hoping that somebody is going to use it. And, we learned a huge lesson from it.
How old were you when you started that venture?
I was around 27.
Was it?
Or 28.
Was it difficult to leave your established position, the one where I'm sure the paycheck was regular, and jumping into a startup?
For me, it was an easy decision because I really believed that this business will definitely work. You know, we already had a product in the works, and we invested a lot of our own money into it. But we didn't listen to anybody, people who say, so how exactly are you going to take it to the market? Who is your target audience and how you're going to monetize it? So all those questions, I was just blind. I thought, okay, we're just going to do the product, put it out there, and people are going to think it's really useful, and they're going to start using it by themselves. But it never happened.
And was it a app within like an iPhone in the App Store, or how was the program or software built?
Right. So my co-founder, Ross, he's a software engineer. He has a great experience working at Samsung. And he basically engineered it by himself. It was a web app, a progressive web app running on any browser, plus native mobile apps for iOS and Android. Like just a regular mix nowadays. Everybody starts a software as a service, that kind of combo. So we published it at the store, and nobody downloaded the app. So we had to really think about like the pivot or how we can really make a step forward and fail fast, as they say.
And when you launched it on the App Store, were you like watching the next day and thinking, okay, we're going to have a couple downloads, right? There's going to be at least somebody's going to download it. Like, what was that? What was that like when you actually hit the App Store? Were you just saying, okay, we'll put it out and then we'll see what happens? Or what was your thoughts?
Yeah, like we basically,
a little bit, like we put some thought on how we are going to go to our first initial release. So there was a big event in Seoul where a lot of entrepreneurs came to this, like it was, I think some kind of startup expo. And so at that event, we basically forced all the people to download our app and try to use it, exchange contacts at the event. We realized it wasn't that useful even in the context of event. So the first couple days we did have a lot of users suddenly because basically all the people on the event downloaded our app, but then it just stopped there because people didn't really need what we made. And I think this is probably the biggest mistake that we made, is making something that nobody needs. Mm-hmm. Basically at market. In South Korea in general, the exchanging paper business cards was just so ingrained in their culture. Like when they meet, this whole ceremony of exchanging a business card, like with the bow and like giving it with two hands, I think that it was, we just tried to solve the problem that was just too cultural, too embedded in their life.
It's funny as you're sharing, I'm going to grab something here just on the other side of my desk, just to give you an idea of like how ingrained it actually is even here. So, this is my stack of business cards that I collect.
That's a bit of a roller.
I collect like Pokemon cards, right? And do I ever go back to this binder? For those that can't see it, it's a binder of, I'm gonna guess, 600 plus business cards. I don't go back to it very often, but I try not to forget to put the card in there because you never know, right? That's my whole thinking behind it. It might be a hoarder type problem.
It looks like, you know, just like a collection of things. You would just collect designs of cards, you know, for fun. You know, like those people who collect Nintendo games on SD card or CD drive nowadays.
Right, exactly. So
I've heard that in the U.S. They're using LinkedIn a lot to exchange contacts.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You know, I think about that app specifically. We're spending a little time on that first real entrepreneurial journey because I'm curious about, you know, what you learned and what came out of it. But I think about LinkedIn and these other social media platforms. I mean, that's kind of taken the place of exchanging the business card. If I think about how many people I've said, just add me on Facebook, like I'm comfortable. I don't separate personal from business on social. It's all kind of intertwined into one. And so when I think about social, I think about that's my way of asking people to add me or give me their business card. It's through a social media platform. And you were trying to come up with something that would, you know, skip that, right? It's like, don't add me on social, but add me on this app and you will have my information.
Yeah, because a lot of people feel uncomfortable mixing their social, like personal life, with work life. So we wanted to make a way that you can exchange your professional information with others. And like one of the special things about our app versus any other like a business card scanning app was that you would create a virtual business card right in the app. So you don't need a paper card to like print it out first and then scan it and then like you would exchange it. So you would create it with like a constructor in the app. And then if you change your contact information, if you move to a new country or you promote, you just update your own card and it propagates to all other cards that like, to all the other people that have this card. It was a neat little idea, but unfortunately nobody needed it. Right.
How long did that startup last before you decided?
That lasted less than 1 year, thankfully. I think it was roughly maybe 6 months, that six to nine months that we were like working on the concept and trying to reach out to people, show it, and then trying to apply some accelerating programs to help us develop this idea better. But I'm glad that we decided to just stop doing this cards and find a better, like do something that people want, right? And this is our co-working space software that we are making right now.
And the space that you were working out of when you were developing that app, now this is early on in your entrepreneurial journey, did you just decide to work from coffee shops, from home? Did you actually go into a co-working space? Like, What did you do for your...
That's actually a really great question. And that I can see that this is actually the way that we somehow evolved into the co-working software. It all started basically like working on this business card app. We went to the coffee shops first, and then we were sitting there, and you know, like any other freelancer or a person who worked at a coffee shop, we realized this is not a good place for work. You can't call people. You can have a business call like we're having with you right now, like just a normal conversation in a quiet environment, because you're surrounded by people constantly talking, music and noisy. They would throw you out of the coffee shop at like 8 p.m. when the time is up and they need to close, right? So internet connection is not stable. So we were always like searching for a better place to work. And honestly, at that time, I had no idea that what is co-working space and the concept. But then we somehow met people who like introduced us and say, hey, go check out this place. You can just sit and work there and focus. And we discovered co-working spaces around like 6 months or 7 months of our journey, this business card journey. And we started working at a co-working space. And so being around co-working space and talking to the managers and observing like their routines, kind of like shadowing a little bit, like, you know, like talking to them a lot. That's how we discovered the pains of managing co-working space. And that's how we were like, okay, if the business card doesn't work, there are real people in front of us who need help like managing their space, their business. So why not we just do something that they want, for example, to help them.
Yeah, and you're like, hey, the customer's already there, so if we can start making some money with that customer, that might lead to another customer, because we're not making any money over here with the business.
We're not only making any money, but generally about what we want to do in life, right? After working in a corporation and just like sitting in the box, basically, for 6 years, for example, I have really enjoyed being around co-working space. It's just like you're surrounded by people who are like very lit, you know, they're very friendly and positive, and they're all going about their lives and being independent. And I really enjoyed being at a co-working space, and just in general, the spirit of co-working, I think it's really enriching. It was really great for me to experience. So we were like, we'd want to do this not only because it's a great opportunity, business opportunity, because I believe in the co-working industry. I think there's the traditional office will definitely like die. But like also because we just want it to happen. We want people to be able to experience being working at a co-working space, being surrounded by friendly people, even just talking to a community manager who is actually trying to, you know, who's your friend at the co-working space, who's trying to make a great event for you and, you know, just ask you, how's your day? I think that's important.
What, as far as the package of your co-working space, and, you know, you probably have the cheaper version and then the more expensive version of the private office, whatever the case may be. Early on in those days, did you have to go with the cheap version, the open desk, come limited hours, or were you able to step up and get a monthly subscription right away? Do you remember where you're at in your co-working space originally?
You mean like the membership at a co-working space?
Yeah, like your specific membership when you originally got into a co-working
space. We took a very careful approach. I think we first took some kind of like a limited, like 20 visits like that. And yep. Then like we sit down, that was really great co-working space. They had a lot of great amenities. For example, they had not only meeting rooms, but they also had a device lab where you can go in and there's like a lot of devices and mobile phones and watches, and you can download your apps on those devices and try them out, like how it runs on those devices. So that was a really impressive service that we had never seen before. So we kind of grew on it and we liked it, and we got a member, like monthly membership for a flexible workspace, and just continued.
I think that's another great thing just about co-working in general, is that ability to have those flexible lease terms and the ability to test out space. So I, day to day, my day job is commercial real estate. So I'm helping all types of businesses move into different locations. And often the landlord that controls the space is looking for a 3-year lease or a 5-year lease, or the longer the lease, the better. And that is the opposite of what you've seen from co-working, of saying, no, please come try it out. Make sure it's a fit. We want to make sure you enjoy the space. And if it is, we have the space for you to expand.
I agree, and it's really, you know, how they call co-working, like office-centric co-working space, sometimes flexible office. So I think the flexibility applies not only to like the interior design decisions and solutions, but also to actually human culture surrounding the co-working. Like it's really flexible office in terms of the culture that you meet there.
Mm-hmm. What year was your now company founded?
It was founded in 2017.
And here we sit today, we're already in 2019 and it's getting closer and closer to the end of 2019. What would you say has been some of the learning experience of your second startup and where you're at today?
Oh, that's a great question. I would say that for me personally, the biggest lesson that I learned doing this second business is how like a really famous marketologist his name is Federer, he says, a great business is a woodpecker. It's like a woodpecker. It finds that one spot and then hits it that one spot all the time. So that's what I learned doing my second project in cards, is that we need to find one thing that we are really great at and focus on that one thing, like a woodpecker on that one hole in the tree.
That makes sense. And that one thing, it's the pain point of what a community manager or a co-working owner has for programming and getting memberships organized. Would that be a good way of putting it, or how would you summarize it?
Well, I would say that in general, yeah, like for any business, it's a different thing, right?
Yeah.
For our business in particular, AntCards, what we're trying to solve is make community manager, community manager on their daily routine, they have to, they use multiple apps. Just like any of us in the personal life or even professional life, you would use like Google Docs for productivity or Microsoft Office, right? Like Gmail for email, Outlook. You would have like multiple apps, Xero for finance, Slack for chatting, and Zoom for calling. And so community managers, they often find themselves using a lot of different apps. One for access control, for example, like letting people in and out, like registering people there. Another for financing, for issuing plans. Another for billing, like for example, Stripe, or like charging people. Another for meeting room booking. So what we're trying to do with our product is we are trying to synchronize the data between all those services they already use, right? A lot of companies, they take a little different approach. A lot of companies, they try to build like an all-in-one solution that has everything, mm-hmm. right? But we believe this is not a good way to go, because instead of giving community managers like an all-in-one solution that has a subpar feature copy of invoicing tool or a CRM, we would just take the data that they collect from their customers, and then we would sync it out to the access control, to the CRM, to their marketing solution. And so that they don't have to manually manage the databases of clients and all the services that they use, right? We just simply synchronize it for them, and it makes their life a lot easier. So I would say this is probably the biggest pain point that we are solving with our product.
Hmm. And so does it sync with like QuickBooks? Does it sync with, what's an example of some of the ones that it might interact with?
Sure. So since our main goal is to sync the customer data between all the services, we're super open to developing any integration with like literally any service that our customers use. For example, our customers in South Korea, they love using MailChimp for sending out email newsletters to their customers. So what we did for them is they connected their MailChimp account to AntCards directly. And so whenever the new member joins their workspace, it automatically added to the MailChimp audience. They've set up a monthly newsletter for that, but they also did a welcome email. For example, a new member joins, the welcome email automatically dispatched by MailChimp because it's fully automated. Another customer in Switzerland, for example, they're using Stripe for charging their customers. So we connected Stripe billing directly into our product so that when they're booking a meeting room, they can just pay right away with a credit card. Intercom, access control companies. We work with any service that can simplify the life of a community manager, so that a community manager can actually manage the community, not the papers
not,
and
not
apps
MailChimp
and,
right?
Yeah, not the MailChimp. Yeah, confidential data.
That's a great point. What have you had to, in any of your startups, now your second, have you had to go out and raise dollars for investment, or have you continually bootstrapped it with your own funding?
We are preparing. I think that the best, like as they always advise, like the best time to raise is when you don't really need it that much, right? So that you feel more confident and that your business is really like a generating a lot of values for potential investors, right? That your business is really stable and you found that product market fit that is that you can take to a whole new level with investment. So I think we already reached that point and we are now preparing for raising our first round of investment. So I'm looking in the period of around within 6 months, probably we'll try to raise our first seed round. But yeah, we've never raised any money before, and we've been bootstrapping, like investing our own money that we've earned previously in the corporate, and we get some support from like some government.
That's great. Did you, growing up, consider yourself an entrepreneur? Or at what point did it finally hit you where you're like, I'm actually an entrepreneur?
That's a good question. I think that every one of us is a little bit of an entrepreneur, I think, in somewhere in their soul. Whether we actually, an entrepreneur is not necessarily probably someone who's doing like their own business. You could work in another with somebody else in their company and have that entrepreneurial spirit, kind of trying to put your best towards achieving the mission and the vision of the company that you work for. So I think I've always considered myself an entrepreneur, but the moment when I really realized it, I would say that it was when I had to pay salaries. when I had already like people who I'm like paying my first salary, and then there's a second person working for us, and the third person, and then the team grows. And then I think that at that point I realized, oh wow, like I have to like sustain like a community, right? Like an Intcards team that is dependent on our business decisions.
Yeah, that's an eye opener, I imagine, of okay, someone else is counting on our performance for the paycheck. And here we go.
Right.
Right. It's the road. This is great. You know, thank you so much for one reaching out, maybe share a little bit about how you actually reach out, because I think that's cool to share about just how people are continually meeting one another and just being open for the conversation. You have a marketing team member. Is that right?
Yep. Sergey. Yeah.
And so they're doing, and this, I'm a big believer in content creation. Offline, we were talking about Gary Vee and just what he talks about. And it seems like you're on the path as a company to do content creation at part of the core of your marketing. I really believe that will lead to the most potential growth because it's organic in some way. You know, it's not an Instagram ad that pops up in front of me that I'm trying to subscribe. It's, you get to know, like, and trust the people on the other side, which then turns into customer base. So you're doing things differently, which is exciting.
I agree with you. And you know, one of the things we do and we really want to contribute to co-working community around the world is by building a very robust source of information on how to manage co-working space efficiently on our blog. Like, Intcards blogs is now a big focus for us. No, it's really a condensed experience that we received working with co-working spaces around the world. Like, we have customers in 11 countries at the moment, and co-working spaces in all those countries, they're facing the same issue, like the same day-to-day problems, right? Like how to manage access control, how to manage visitors, how to charge your customers the easiest and the fastest possible way. They're facing a lot of things that in any country. So this is kind of beauty of co-working industry. I think that it's very global. The movement of co-working is very global, and the problems people face are very similar. So we are building a blog of specifically a content that specifically condensing our experience, how to do that. And Sergey and Helga, like our team members, are doing a great job, I think. And I recommend you checking it out. I think it's going to be very useful.
That's great. One other pain point I would bring up, and I don't know if it's how it's been brought up to you. I'm sure it's been brought up, is the community manager's ability to market the co-working space on platforms that have to be updated relatively regularly. So I can't speak for other countries, but I can speak for the United States. Is as a commercial real estate agent, one of the pain points we've had of marketing space in general, co-working or any spaces, there's now more listing channels than ever before. And to get them on there the most often with the most updated photos, with the most updated information, is our office admin at our real estate office. It's almost a part-time job that turns into full-time as these listing channels start to keep getting added. So I think that would be another pain point that just I see even with our spaces. There's a Craigslist, LoopNet, Crexy, Facebook Marketplace. If you're able and capable doing actual targeted Facebook advertising specific to the space, I view every social platform as its own marketing platform as well.
That's a great point, and I agree with you that this is one chunk of information that is basically manual labor, like a manual copy-pasting of community management. And this is something we want to eliminate entirely. For example, the data that we have on our platform, let's say a meeting room, like there is a meeting room, let's say, and it has images on our platform already. Why do you need to manually upload the same image to all these various services if we can just sync it for you in the background? You upload it in one place and it automatically syncs in everywhere else. So we're looking at a platform that is kind of like automating for you the distribution of the information throughout the customer information and your asset like information throughout all the services that you use. We're super open to integrating with really virtually any service that can do it, like, and really save your time. We're already doing it with marketing, like for example MailChimp and Intercom. We're already doing it with payment systems, with access controls, and we want to do that with marketing as well. I think this is a really great way to go.
That's good. Any other thoughts you want to share out there on the interweb so everybody can hear?
Well, once again, thanks for, it was a really pleasure talking to you and meeting you, and great being on the China Hall. I've looked at the China Hall before, and on your website, there is an article that says why China Hall is called China Hall. And a lot of people also ask me, what is the meaning of the NCARTS word? What does it mean, right? So I think this is something in common between China Hall and NCARTS. The good business, a good brand name, is a question, not an answer.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's a good point. And I think just inherently, you can't get away from cards. You started in business cards. Every startup that you have from here on out is somehow going to involve cards. Next, it will be postcards. Then after that, it will probably be birthday cards.
Well, we'll see what fits into the co-working business. But you know, you can use credit cards to pay for meeting room booking. It sits there.
Well, thank you, Igor. If people want to learn more about NCARTS, where would you direct them to? Where should they go check it out?
NCARTS.com is your place to go if you want to learn a little more about how to run your business efficiently. That's ncards.com/blog.
Great. And thank you for reaching out, and thank you for being on the podcast. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Bucky. Thank you.